When we find ourselves devoid of passion and purpose, the first thing we need to do is stop. But that's not easy. The rest of the world is zooming by at full speed. Left alone with ourselves, without a project to occupy us, we can become nervous and self-critical about what we should be doing and feeling. This can be so uncomfortable that we look for any distraction rather than allowing ourselves the space to be as we are. And it was said by Dorna Markova. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. And how are we today, folks? How's the husband? How's the wife? How's the kids? How's the job? How's all the other things that you do in this life that you live? Is it all working out for you? Are things going well? Is the world going in the direction that you hoped it would? Do you even think about the direction the world is going? Or are you mainly focused on your own life and your own family and working hard to make sure that that is all stable and looked after and safe from the outside world? Of course, that's a good thing to focus on if that's what you have. You have a family and you live in a city, and of course it's good to focus on the well-being of your family, but have you ever wondered why you have to protect your family so much and why you have to struggle so much to ensure that they're able to survive in the world? Have you ever wondered why it's such a struggle? And of course you might say, well, look, I work to keep my family safe, and it's important that I keep my family safe because it's a dangerous world, and that's why I do it. But have you ever asked yourself why it's a dangerous world? Why our societies function the way they do? Why it's such a struggle, and why you have to pay to be alive? Of course, many people will say, well, of course I have to pay to be alive. Everybody has to pay to be alive. But that's not really the question, is it? I'm not asking for confirmation that you have to do that, because an answer like that is like saying, well, of course I have to get beaten over the head with a stick. Everybody's being beaten over the head with a stick. When the reality is that just because you are being beaten over the head with a stick, the same as everybody else, it doesn't make it right. So it isn't a matter of, well, of course I have to pay to be alive. It's the question of why you have to pay to be alive in the first place, and what causes all the instability in our society? What causes all the crime? What causes all the bloodshed, all the hardship, all the war? What causes all of the almost insurmountable problems that we have? What is the basis of all of them? Why do these problems exist? What is it about human consciousness that creates this reality? Why do we do this to ourselves? I mean, when you look at our society, when you look at the human race, you find that every man is indeed born equal. Every man, every woman is born equal. Of course, you may say they're not. I would say that they are. The problem is that they're simply not born into equal surroundings. But each person is born no better or no worse than anybody else, with exactly the same senses and perceptions that everybody else has. It's just that these things are moulded along the way due to the environment each of us is born into. These environments shape our prejudices. They shape our opinions of other people. And this happens very often before we are even old enough to know that our opinions are being moulded and our perspectives are being shaped. And the thing is, folks, that I truly believe that if you left children to their own devices, they wouldn't come up with division. They wouldn't come up with war. You might argue the point and say that children have been observed to always be territorial and to fight and to not be prone to sharing their stuff. We've observed this sort of stuff. It's preschool and kindergarten and the places that we send our children. And I would argue that the children do this because of the societies that they're born into, because that's what these societies are based on. And this is what is instilled into the children from the very moment that they're born. So that by the time they're old enough to go to preschool or daycare or kindergarten, their paradigms are already beginning to be quite well shaped due to their observing their parents and their observing the world thus far. Because you've got to understand that most of people's perception of the world is instilled within them by the time they're 2 years old. And it's very much instilled into them by the time they're five, almost indelibly. This is, of course, why religions, for example, have always said, well, just give us your child for the first 5 years and we don't care after that, because whatever it is you have instilled within the children's minds in those first 5 years has a very high likelihood of remaining with them forever, especially with the right coaxing and the right programming from the mainstream media and from the societies that they enter into. And so what you find is a society in which people are thoroughly programmed. And they're not only programmed by the society, they're programmed by their parents, they're programmed by the institutions they attend, and eventually they're programmed by themselves because they maintain their own programming. And really, when you step back and look at it, folks, what you find is that human consciousness itself has been brutalized by the system that ensnares it and enslaves it. And it is this programming, this brutalization of human consciousness that results in all of the hardship and the division and the stress that we find ourselves living within. And the stress is really an interesting one. I mean, there is so much stress in our society. There's so much stress in modern living. And you see, this is the result of a television version of reality, folks. It's a result of a television education and the subtext that is fed to people all the time through the television and through the movies. You see, what we're trained to believe through advertising and through television is that there are very, very simple steps to obtaining a certain position in society. It's like 1, 2, 3. All you have to do is buy our products and dress this way and attend these parties and say the right thing and look this way and have these types of enhancements and these types of cosmetic surgery, and eventually you will be this wonderfully successful person and you'll have all of the things that we have displayed before you here on the television. And what they actually do, folks, is they present you with the easy steps to a goal which is essentially unobtainable. And then because you never are able to reach this goal and you end up putting yourselves in massive amounts of debt and having to run faster and faster and faster on the treadmill in order to achieve this position that you are never actually going to be capable of achieving, people end up very, very stressed out. And not only do they end up stressed out, but they also often end up very bitter, very much in debt, and they get to a certain age in life where they find that they actually missed their entire life because they were too busy worrying about things that were external to themselves. And this is why society ends up in such a stressed out state. Of course, most of the crime and the violence is completely and utterly due to the monetary system that enslaves us, because the monetary system is designed to create scarcity. That's its only purpose. It places everybody in a state of scarcity, which automatically places them in a state of stress. And it serves to put them on a treadmill where they don't really have time to notice what's going on around them. And it's this manufactured state of scarcity, this artificially created state of scarcity that the human race is in, which causes you to need to keep your family safe from all the crime and all of the people out there who are in a permanent state of shortage because of this monetary system. And it's all very contrived, folks, because when you keep a society in a state of manufactured scarcity, then of course the natural byproduct is crime. And of course when you have crime, you're able to increase the police presence, and eventually you've got all of society locked down. And I've done so many shows about this in the nearly 4 years that I've been talking to you that I don't even really feel too much need to mention it to you again. But sometimes I wonder if people are actually getting it, because I still fail to see too many people implementing this sort of knowledge into their lives, into their everyday lives. And I guess what I'm really attempting to say here, folks, is that there are so many people out there who do know what's going on, and yet they still participate in the system. Many people who don't comply with the system do so in the wrong way. They do so by attempting to argue with police officers or argue with the courts or argue their point with whoever, rather than simply standing in the power that they have and not arguing but questioning. And as I've often said, folks, I do believe that the ultimate solution, if you wish to stand up against the system in any way, is to do so from a perspective of trust. But ultimately, I guess, it's getting to the stage here in 2012 where I'm just wondering, in regard to everything that I mentioned previously on the show, everything that I've mentioned in previous shows, when you really step back and you see what's going on in the world, how much is humanity prepared to take? Where is your line in the sand? I mean, I think we have some really serious issues that we're facing. And I really feel that humanity has to begin to understand that the only solution to these problems is with us. It all lies with the people. Because we are facing some serious issues. The environmental damage that we're heading for, the catastrophe that we're heading for, that life on this planet is heading for, the transhumanist agenda that is being imposed upon the people. The only ones who can stop all of this are the people themselves. And I think the reason they're not is because people just haven't drawn their lines in the sand yet, or maybe they just keep shifting these lines back. And sometimes I just wonder how much it's going to take. I mean, the amount of damage we're seeing inflicted upon the people of this earth, who are all ourselves, all the people that are suffering, these are all ourselves. They're all just the same as you and I. Every single one of them has value. Every single one of them has worth. And every single one of them is suffering at the hands of other people who are also ourselves. And this suffering is happening because people are working within the parameters of a psychopathic system. And it is a psychopathic system, folks. We have psychopaths that are running the world. There are a large number of people in the world in positions of power that are psychopaths. And sure, we could get violent about it and stage violent revolution, but I think they're ready for that. And I think what people need to do is to realize that it is a psychopathic system and they need to start supporting each other. I've said this again so many times on the shows as well. And that's how to deal with the system. And my question to people is, when are they going to begin doing that? Where is your line in the sand? See, people draw their line in the sand. They think, okay, if you step over this line, I'm going to get violent. But what if they say, my line in the sand is when you ask me to support a system that doesn't support the people. That's my line in the sand. Everything I'm going to do today, I'm going to do to help my fellow man. And if the parameters of my job or the system that I'm forced to work within attempts to override that objective, then I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to work to change those parts of my job and those parts of the system that I work within so that they do respect humanity. If they don't, then I'm going to make a lot of noise about it. I'm going to inform as many people as possible. But what causes all of this, folks? What causes this within the human psyche? What causes the division that creates all of the problems? I mean, of course, we've got things like patriotism. Patriotism is a wonderful tool that has been used to create entire armies of mass murderers supported by nations that endorse mass murder in the name of patriotism. We see this in almost every country on earth. Patriotism is a disease. The thought that your place in the world is better than any other place in the world, and that your race is better than any other race in the world. That is essentially what patriotism is, and that's traditionally been used to manufacture wars and manufacture instability. And it's also been used to divide society from within itself. And this has been done through multiculturalism. And there's nothing wrong with multiculturalism in as much as there's nothing wrong with people having their own cultures. But the way multiculturalism has been introduced into societies has been done in a way to create kind of a patriotic division between these groups of societies. Because within our cities, you don't see people from foreign countries sort of mingling in and becoming part of the nation that they migrate to. What you see is that they tend to congregate within their own suburbs and they create their own societies within the societies that they enter into, whereby you'll have, you know, the Chinese section or the Vietnamese section or the French section or the Italian section or the Jewish section or whatever in various cities all around the world. You don't see an intermingling of people. And so this creates division within each society. So it's very, very difficult to unite a city against their government because you'll find that the cities themselves are divided because of the multiculturalism that's been introduced into the cities. And because that multiculturalism is based on a perspective of patriotism. Each nation, each multicultural section of the city supports its own race via the mechanism of patriotism. So patriotism is a form of division. It's a form of creating differences between races, when really what true culture is and what true multiculturalism should be a celebration of art. Because what is your culture if it isn't your art? the particular culture of the French people is the art of the French people, the way they speak, the way they wear their hair, the way they prepare their food, the clothes that they make, the customs that they have, the traditions that they hold, the culture of the Indian people or the Pakistani people, the food they prepare, the dyes they use in their clothing, the culture of the South American people, the colours they use and the art and the carvings that they make. This is culture. This is art. The foodstuffs that they create and the things that they use for that food. This is what real culture is. And this is beautiful within all races. This multiculturalism is beautiful when culture is perceived to be art, which is what true culture is. But we have had the concept of culture replaced with patriotism. So people are always supporting their own race. They're not supporting their own art. They're not supporting their own perspective of the world. They've been trained to use their particular genealogy as a form of division. And this is how multiculturalism has been used within our societies to divide our societies. And don't get me wrong with this, folks, because I support an intermingling of races, and I support a merging of all of these cultures, and I support the tradition and preservation of all of these cultures. I mean, I support anything as long as it's beneficial for the human race and we're all happy doing it. I just don't see a problem in the merging of any races or any cultures or anything like that. I don't see the need for borders. I don't see the need for all of the organization and division that we create within the human species. All I see is a celebration of life. So I say let's go with the flow, but let's do it in the right way. Let's do it in a respectful way. I mean, I have no problem with anybody's culture, but I look at these cultures from a perspective of art and not a perspective of race. I think the race is irrelevant. I think we're all in this together, one human family, and we should honour the cultures that we have, but we should also perceive these cultures as art because that's what they are. And so you can really see that how, within multicultural societies, that culture has actually been replaced with patriotism, and this is what's caused the division. And then, of course, in whichever country you go to, you'll find that whoever migrates there and sets themselves up receives far more benefits than the local inhabitants of the country, which automatically sets the local inhabitants at odds against the intruders, because they're perceived as intruders because, oh, they come and they take all the jobs and they do all this. They never ask why they need jobs in the first place, why they're required to run so hard on the treadmill in order to pay to be alive. They never really think about that. They just label the people from the other country as intruders and they blame them. And then, of course, they blame their government for allowing the intruders in and for paying them such high benefits, and they see how it's all unfair. And we get back to this whole stressed-out society of these multicultural pockets that are all at war with each other. So it's like we've got this global war going on within one city of people that are supposed to be there living in harmony, all because they're kept in a state of scarcity and sucked into believing in patriotism and seeing that as culture. But it isn't culture. Patriotism is racism and culture is art. And that's a kind of a different perspective, but that's the way I look at it, folks. I think that we're all in this together. And I think we can merge our cultures, we can support our cultures, we can preserve our cultures. But, you know, ultimately it doesn't really matter because all of these things evolve. And what matters is how the human race evolves and how we develop our art, where that art leads us. You know, stop thinking psychopathically, stop thinking pathologically, stop being so intertwined in this system which removes all of our rights from us and removes all of our consciousness from us and prevents us from being all that we are. Start supporting each other. Stop supporting all of this racist rubbish. Start seeing each other as valid and move forward. And I think that's what we're being presented with. We're being presented with an opportunity to do this. We're being presented with an opportunity for humankind to become all that it could be. That's what I think this year is about. And it's right there. It's right there at our fingertips. All we have to do is walk the talk. All we have to do is start doing it. Start respecting each other. That's how we can change the world, folks. Simple respect. Because that's one of the things that we've very much lost. And again, multiculturalism, the way it's presented within our societies, causes people to lose this respect for each other and prevents them from having respect for each other because it creates a patriotically based cultural division within society. So society is completely separated and segregated within itself. So, of course, any response to society, any response to government from within that society is compartmentalised. And they love that, don't they? They love to divide the problem into a myriad of little symptoms and have people in these little compartmentalised responses, each addressing a symptom, so the real problem never actually gets addressed. And think about it, folks. I mean, if your council or your local government enacts legislation that you don't like and you try to unite the community to stand against this legislation, well, you're never going to be able to unite the community because the community is already divided by its multicultural aspects. And a lot of the people from external places, a lot of the people that have come into your country and set up as migrants within your city, they're getting all these great handouts from the government, so they're not interested in standing up against the council or anything that these people do because they don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to remove the benefits that they're getting. So they're kind of bribed into submission. And all of this serves to create a disunited and therefore a disempowered community that never has the cohesiveness to be able to stand up against government corruption. And so the government is given open slather to do virtually anything it wants due to the multicultural aspects of the society over which it presides. And again, folks, it's not that multiculturalism is the problem. It's that the multiculturalism that we have is based on this distorted version of reality because it's based on patriotism. Now, everyone's so staunch about their particular spot in the world and everyone's so staunch about their race when really all it serves to do is divide the people. And I really believe that if people could respect themselves and respect their race and respect their culture by viewing it from a perspective of art, then the whole thing could change. Because it's not about which particular place on the planet you came from. It's about who you are, and it's about the knowledge and the art and the heritage that you carry with you, that you've been gifted by your ancestors. I mean, we're all proud of our heritage because this heritage makes us who we are. But if we can view that heritage as art and view that heritage as a gathering of knowledge that's been funneled down to us from our elders and from those who came before us, and not view it as pertaining to race, then we can really view things differently. We can really change our attitude and change our perspective of reality by viewing our heritage in this way and viewing our culture in this way, realizing what true pride in your culture is. It's not pride in your race, it's pride in your art. But anyway, I'm probably ranting a little bit here, but this is something that I think is very important, folks, if we could just view the world from this way and view our relationship to the world this way. Many, many races and many, many peoples and many, many cultures, but ultimately one species, one tribe of brothers and sisters who have the potential to all work together and respect each other and express our art to our greatest potential. Imagine what we could create. I mean, what is science? Science that is beneficial to humanity is art. This is these people's art. Music is art. Anything you can create is art. This is what it is. You may be a master builder or a master painter or a cook or someone who creates stuffed toys. But whatever it is that you do, this is your art. If it's something that you love and it's something that you're good at, this is the art that you create, and this is the legacy you leave behind. This is the tale that you tell. This is part of the gift of you that you leave for those who come after you. All that consciousness has created, all of the greatest achievements of mankind, this is the art of the species. But when I look around me at the world today, what I see is that our art has been turned into destruction, and a lot of its fuel is patriotism. Everybody is so concerned about their place in the world. Everybody is so concerned about making sure they're not in a state of shortage. And so they're willing to overthrow countries and kill millions and millions of people in order to take control of resources because they don't ever want to be put in a state of shortage. And they can see that the more people we get on the planet, the more people are going to be put in shortage. And they don't ever want that to happen to them. And so we see this incredibly destructive society that we have now. And yet it's all based on a fictional system that we made up, or someone made up and put in place. Because all of this shortage and scarcity that has turned our art into violence and into destruction can be all traced back to the fact that the human experience has been replaced by commerce, by a corrupt financial system that demands permanent growth. And people just have to realise that, and it really doesn't take much for people to realise it if they can simply find the time to step back and look at the situation, because it's really right there in front of your eyes if you choose to see it. And it's important that we do see it, folks, because it's this financial system, this system of commerce, that is the cause of all the destruction that we see on the planet. It's the catalyst, it's the glue that holds this matrix together. And that's why we have to free ourselves from it. As I've said so often on these radio shows, what we need to do is we need to adopt a culture of giving. And I think that is the real key. And it does work if you can simply let go of the outcome and give to people, your life will change. And it does work, folks, and I'm living proof that it works. But I think it's break time here, so I better leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, folks. Now, something that I guess I've been attempting to say to you in virtually all the shows that I've done is that we are right now at a turning point in history. I think it's an extremely important time. That's the thing about history, folks. We never really realize that we're in it. We seem to perceive it as something that has come before, but we don't really realize that it's happening all the time and that what we are doing right now is making history. And it's a really important time, folks, because it's the first time in history that mankind has had any real opportunity for true freedom. In past revolutionary periods, we've had temporary respite from tyranny, and we've had a temporary paradigm shift, but we've never really had true freedom. We've never seen true freedom in recorded history, because mankind has never been spiritually evolved enough to deal with true freedom. We've never had the self-awareness and self-responsibility that it takes to be free. That's never happened. Well, it's never happened in the civilized world anyway. Of course, there were many indigenous cultures that were quite free. There were many tribal cultures that were quite free. But nowhere within the rise of what we call civilization have we seen anything even remotely resembling true freedom. We've always seen the facade of freedom, but in reality, the freedom that we've seen has simply been freedom of choice, but not true freedom. Not a true freedom of spirit, not a true empowering of the human species. In fact, everything about civilization seems to have been designed to limit the freedoms that people have and to limit the way that people are able to express themselves and develop their art. And again, folks, in my reference to art, I'm referring to your life's work, because your life is your art. Your personality is your art. Your culture is your art. The culture that you create from yourself by your presence in the world. This is your art. Everything about your life is your art. And that's just the way I look at things. I believe that each of us paints a picture of our life while we are here, and we leave that picture for the world to view. We leave that picture behind when we depart this world. We leave behind the painting that is our life, the mark that we left, and the way we changed reality by our presence in it, whether it was changed for good or whether it was changed for bad. That's our legacy. That's what we are born to do. And I believe that we need to pay attention to the picture that we're painting, both on an individual and on a collective level. And very often the reason we are not aware of the picture that we're painting is because we're not self-aware. We do not have the correct perspective of ourselves. We don't have self-realization, and therefore we do not have self-responsibility, and therefore we do not have true freedom. Because it all comes down to self-responsibility, which can only come from self-realization. But what we are seeing in modern times is an awakening of these responsibilities in people, an awakening of the power that we actually have within people. And so at last we are being given an opportunity to be free, because it is understanding these things about yourself that is the key to freedom, because that is where freedom lies. It lies in self-knowledge, self-understanding, self-acceptance, and self-realization.
The thing is, folks, that we really need for people to gain these understandings about themselves, because if people don't gain these understandings, well, we're facing some pretty dire times ahead. I believe that it is in by gaining these understandings that we find the tools and the method that we can use to combat virtually everything that is happening to us. I believe that these are the tools we need to combat things such as coal seam gas mining. The rampant destruction that is being carried out all around our planet. You see, when we look at the world, folks, this is what we see. We see rampant destruction everywhere we look, and it continues no matter how hard we try to stop it, no matter how hard we protest, no matter how many marches we have, how many petitions we send to government. There are still wars, there is still destruction, there is still starvation, there is still homelessness. The problems just continue. And the reason the problems continue is because we always operate within the parameters provided for us by the system, and we never take self-responsibility. We never stand in the power of our flesh. And that's where the power lies. And when I say the power of our flesh, what I'm saying is that you are man. You are living, breathing flesh and blood. And man is the top of the food chain. It's just that certain men have maneuvered themselves to the top of the tribe of man, and they have imposed systems of control upon other people. And because the society that they've structured around us is based on the economic model rather than the humanitarian model, then all we see is a world of endless suffering in order to support a commercial system. And because it's a system based on permanent growth, then of course the only natural result of this system is the discarding of all life and the depletion of all resources on this planet. And they can see that these resources will be depleted, which is why they are talking about things such as sustainability. And people look at sustainability and they think it means environmentally friendly, but it doesn't. It means sustainability. It means they wish to sustain the model that they have. They wish to keep raping the planet, and they need to be able to keep that rape happening as long as possible. It's sustained destruction is what they're talking about. It's nothing to do with thinking green. It's nothing to do with preserving the environment. It's nothing to do with helping the human species. It's all about sustaining the economic model. So don't be fooled by what these people tell you, folks, because all politicians know how to do is lie. I mean, it's a prerequisite. You have to be a barefaced liar before you're even able to get a gig as a politician. If you're not able to tell barefaced lies with absolute disregard for the suffering that you are causing people by doing so, then you will never be a successful politician. Unfortunately, that is simply the political climate of the modern world. That's why I place no faith in politics. Politics is simply theatre for the masses, and it's a control system that's put in place to force the population to work within the parameters provided for us by the criminals who are destroying our world. And that's really it, folks. I mean, these people are criminals, and they are destroying our world. And the legal system that they adhere to is simply a bunch of rules that they write down that are designed to protect themselves and tie the little guy up in red tape so that he can never do anything about it. And you only have to attempt to get involved in the legal system and attempt to make a stand as an activist within the parameters of the current system to see exactly what I'm talking about. Because we've had activism for years, folks. We've had people standing up against whaling, people standing up against wars, against mining, against deforestation, against starvation. We've had people standing up and being very, very active on so many fronts, and yet we still see the same problems rampant across the planet, because all of the activists that are addressing all of these issues are all operating within the parameters provided for them by the system, when really what they need to be doing is operating from a perspective of trust. And I know I say this a lot, folks, I'm probably saying it ad nauseum, but that's really where the answer lies. And until we can do that, until we can remember what our relationship with government is, then we're never going to get anywhere. And the relationship is a trust agreement, folks. That's what your relationship with government is. It's very important for people to remember that these self-styled rulers who have claimed dominion over this world are just people. They're no better or no worse than anybody else, and you don't have to do what they say. And if you operate out of respect, respect for people when you talk to them, but also respect for yourself, and don't take a backward step to these people, but don't insult them, don't attack them. Simply know who and what you are and stand in the power that you inherently have and help other people to do the same. And that's how we address the system. Because all of the rampant destruction that we're seeing around the planet, folks, it's all caused by politicians. It's all caused by governments. If it isn't caused by governments, then it's caused by corporations that have been given the hold that they have by the legislation that's been enacted by governments that has allowed them to have this hold. So it's very important to see how the system works and to see how the corporations and the government scratch each other's backs and to see the collusion of the media, how the media spins all of these stories. They always make the company sound like the big evil company, but they always present a hopeless scenario, and they always show the people struggling against the giant corporation and yet breaking upon its face like waves upon a rock wall. Because they never really tell the people what's going on, and they never really tell the people what the remedy is. They never allow the people to gain any knowledge of the trust agreement, which is the basis of their relationship with government. And this is exacerbated, of course, by the education system that all the people have gone through, which has trained them to be obedient little drones. See, that's what school's about, folks. It's about activating your left brain, closing down your right brain, and instilling within you a total respect for authority to ensure that you do not step outside of the lines. School is about repetition, indoctrination, and instilling within people respect for authority. That's it. It certainly doesn't help you be a better human being, and it certainly doesn't help you think clearly or instill a set of morals or promote an attitude of service towards the world within people. All it does is indoctrinate people to be a functional cog in the big machine. That is the sole purpose of education, folks. Personally, I think that people should homeschool their children. The only thing that really is beneficial about the scholastic system that we have now is the social activity that the children are able to get up to during lunch break. I mean, they are able to have other kids around them, so they socialize and they get to know the world and they get to know their peers. But very often the kids that they're associating with in school are acting in a hierarchical manner. They're all indoctrinated anyway. So it's even questionable whether the social activity that happens at school has any real benefit simply because of the mindset of the children within the scholastic system. It would be much better if people were homeschooled and had the children play in parks at lunch breaks together and stuff like that. I mean, just keep it all in your neighbourhood, folks, and build some solidarity in your neighbourhood, build some respect in your neighbourhood. Start leading by example in all that you do. I really believe that is the key, and that is how we change the world. I mean, we're certainly not going to change it by voting, folks, and we're certainly not going to change it by forming organisations to combat symptoms, which is what we've had so often in the past, because this is a compartmentalized response to a problem. And as I said before, they love that, folks. They love the compartmentalized response. They love people to be running down little blind alleys, caught up in legal parameters and fighting a ghost and fighting a symptom and not addressing the actual problem that created the symptom. Because there's only one problem, folks. And that problem is the rampant corruption of the government itself, the rampant corruption of the politicians who operate within the parameters of government, and the disempowerment of the people that this system has promoted and sustained. I guess there's some sustainability for you folks. Sustainable control by politicians. That's what they want. You see, all the talk of sustainability that they throw at you folks, none of it means what you think it means. And that's pretty well accurate for everything that politicians say, folks. None of the things they say to you actually mean what they claim it means. There's always hidden agendas. There's always stuff hidden between the lines. And they're always saying things in such a way as to appease the people. And that's what it's all about, folks. Keep them appeased while you sustain the current system. Sustain the mining, sustain the wars, sustain the rape of the planet, and sustain the oppression of the human spirit. What a wonderful world we've created, folks. What a wonderful world we've allowed to be created. And yet the solution is right there at our fingertips. All we have to do is implement it. And it's important that we do, folks, because when you look around at the state of the world, look at the transhumanist agenda. The transhumanist agenda is something that people are simply not paying attention to. Many people don't believe it to be real, but it is real, and it can be very easily seen to be real with some simple investigation, some simple observation, just paying attention to what's happening around you. The world is certainly getting stranger and stranger, folks. There can be no doubt of that. And it's going to continue to get stranger until the people decide to take the matter in hand. And as I've said, folks, there is no protest or violence that's needed. It's just simple non-compliance. Don't go along with what these people say, especially with genetically modified food and all this sort of thing, folks. I mean, it's disgusting to see people losing their court battles against giants like Monsanto when Monsanto genetically modified seed contaminates people's crops. And then Monsanto sues the farmer for growing their food. It's inconceivable that judges are actually ruling in favor of Monsanto, and shows how corrupt and disgusting this system is, shows how much in breach of trust these politicians are and these judges and this whole legal system is. It shows that the legal system is not there to protect the people. It's not there to service the people or protect their rights in any way at all. It's there to protect the parameters of the corrupt system. That's what it's put in place for. And its sole purpose is to tie people up in red tape and prevent them from ever being able to act in any way that is going to alleviate the problems that we face. And the amazing thing about it, folks, is that there are still people who can't see it. The amazing thing about it is that even after people have been beaten back so many times by this legal system, that they still attempt to operate within the same parameters. They still look for lawyers to speak for them. They still look for legal loopholes around a certain situation, when really all they have to do is realize that the legal system is fiction. We just made it up. And that what actually exists between ourselves and government is a trust agreement. I know I keep coming back to it, but that's it, folks. That's where the remedy lies. You know, this whole commercial system that was put in place by the Vatican way back in 1302 when Pope Boniface first enacted the Unum Sanctum Trust, and the way it's all morphed into the current system and it's compounded itself since then, the Crown Corporation, all the legal fiction that they enslave us to, the whole corporate system. You know, we can go through certain steps to emancipate ourselves from this system. We can fill out the right forms. We can take the correct steps. We can return the correct documents and do all this sort of stuff to emancipate ourselves from the system. But I say, why do we even need to do that? Because did you even know that you're involved in this sort of system? Did you even know that there were all these contractual obligations that were being forced upon you? Because if you didn't, then how are these contracts valid anyway? If there wasn't full disclosure, then it's not a valid contract. So why do you have to go through all of this rigmarole and all of these steps in order to free yourself from a system that you never knew you belonged to in the first place? That's my attitude towards the whole thing, folks. I don't believe that I need to establish my sovereignty because I am already sovereign. And if someone is claiming that I'm not sovereign, then I require them to show me proof of claim. Even Julia Gillard said in a speech a few weeks ago that she holds the resources and minerals in the country in trust for a sovereign people. So she's saying that the people are sovereign. She's saying that she's a public trustee. And this is the same in every country, folks. Every single politician that you're dealing with is a public trustee. Every single police officer works for a private company employed by public trustees. So all of these people are in breach of trust, and all the people have to do is to realize that and stand in solidarity with each other. Stand in respect for each other. Stand in respect for your community, folks, because by respecting your community, you are respecting your life, you're respecting your children, you're respecting the society that you live in, you're respecting creation, you're respecting reality. And if anything that these politicians do, anything at all that they do that requires you to act in a way that is not respectful of your community, not respectful of your environment, not respectful of yourself, and not beneficial to yourself, your environment, and your community, anything that they demand of you that does not meet those parameters needs to be disregarded
And a politician and the police officers who are attempting to enforce such parameters upon you needs to be held in breach of trust. That is the attitude that people need to have, because that is the only remedy to the situation that we face, folks. It's either that or civil war. And all civil war will do will be tear down one tyrant and put another tyrant in place. He won't do anything to address the system. That's the problem, folks. Now, we've got to realize that we've got psychopaths running our world, and they're going to continue running our world into the ground and degrading society until the people realize that their system is fake, it's fiction, and they step away from it. Psychopaths only have the power that people give them, folks. Of course, they're very manipulative. They work very hard to ensnare the minds of people and control the minds of people. And they've been very successful in the endeavors that they've undertaken. But they only get away with it because we go along with it. And we only go along with it because, one, we don't know it's there. We are not aware of the system itself. And, two, we're kept in a state where we remain subservient to the system due to fear. It's all based on fear, folks. The entire system that controls us is fear-based mind control. And I think people are waking up to that as well. And that's why this is such a wonderful opportunity, folks. And that's why this is the first time in history that we've actually had this opportunity for real freedom right at our fingertips. Because never before in history has the workings of this system been laid so bare. Never before in history have we had something like the internet and the means of conveying this information to people, the means of uniting the human species on a global scale through the medium of the internet. And so it is a real opportunity, folks. We've got more awareness on the planet now than we've ever had in all of recorded history. And I think we need to take advantage of this situation, and we need to seize the opportunity that this is providing for us with both hands. That's what the 2012 shift is about, folks. It's about changing the paradigm that we currently live in. But it takes your participation. To sit there and simply wait for an energetic shift to come from the center of the galaxy that's going to change everything is pure folly. There may be energies coming. There may be certain frequencies that are changing. But whatever is coming and whatever is changing, you have to understand that this is your world, and if you wish to change it, then you need to participate. So that's it, folks. The opportunity is here. All you have to do is know who and what you are and seize your life with both hands. This is a beautiful world, my friends, and we have so much potential, and we finally have the means at our disposal to achieve the fullest of our potential and to be all that we can be. And it would be a terrible thing if we simply let this moment slide by and didn't grasp it with both hands. Because we have an opportunity here to take mankind to a very, very wonderful place and to reach enormous heights of consciousness and become what mankind is destined to become. And if we don't do it now, then we'll probably have to wait till the end of the next cycle. And I don't know about you folks, but I'm not prepared to wait another 26,000 years. Not when I can see the solution right before our eyes, and I can see that our freedom is so close and so within our grasp. All we have to do is reach out and grab it. Well, we're getting close to the end of the show, folks. And I've got to say at this point that this is going to be the last show I do for at least a month, maybe longer. I was going to do one next week, but I really don't think I'm going to have time. I'll be leaving for Peru on the 31st of July, and the earliest that I'll be back home is the 16th of August. But the way things are looking, I may actually end up away for a good deal longer than that. I'm not really sure at this stage, but there are a few possibilities opening and a few windows that are opening due to this trip, and so I may extend it a little bit. So I'm really not sure about that, folks, but this is going to be the last time that you hear from me for a little while. And the thing is that I simply can't give you a date on my return because I simply don't know what that is. at this stage. As I said, at the moment, the return date is the 16th of August, which would put me back on air at the earliest being the 17th of August, but more likely to be the 24th of August. That is the earliest that I would possibly be back on air. But as I said, folks, the trip may actually be extended. There are a lot of windows opening up due to my proximity in the area, and so I'll just have to play it by ear, and I could be back a good deal later than that. But I'll attempt to post a few things on Facebook and perhaps update a section of the website so that you'll know where I am, just to alleviate any concerns people may be having. And of course, a lot of my journey is going to depend on people out there, if anybody donates to the website or offers any contributions, because I'm kind of flitting off around the planet on a shoestring budget. The flights are being provided for me by other people, and I don't really know where I'll be staying or what I'll be doing while I'm away. I'm just kind of throwing myself to the wind and allowing the synchronicity to take over. So if anybody is able to contribute to help my journey along the way, that would be wonderful. Who knows, if you contribute enough, perhaps I can come and visit you along the way. I mean, the options of where I'll be going really are very, very open at this stage, and I honestly could end up anywhere. So I'm just playing it by ear, folks, but if you can contribute, please do so. It would be wonderful, and if you would like me to possibly call by and see you, then you can let me know when you make the contribution. You just never know, folks. You just never know what may eventuate. But look, that is it for me for the day, folks. I would say that I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week, but I will not be speaking to you again next week. I will be speaking to you again sometime in the future, and I will look forward to that date, whatever that date may be. But there are a great deal of archives on the Crow House, so if you missed a show, please do go to the Crow House archives and just pick one from any time in the last 4 years, and I'm sure there'll be something there that you can find to fill the space the show may leave. And thank you to all who visit the website and for any support anybody has shown me in the past. It's very, very appreciated, folks. And it is the listeners out there that have made this show possible and continue to make the show possible. But that is it for me. I will look forward to speaking to you upon my return. Please take care until then. In La Keshe.